Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Koinonia Church Message Library. Our hope is that today's message encourages you, challenges you, and brings you closer to Jesus. We are confident that God's Word is living and active and is relevant for us today. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
I believe that God is saying to us today that our vision will be in proportion to our faith. We have a goal to accomplish to reach Kitchener-Waterloo with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What part can I play in it? That's our desire, is that we might show the love of God to people so that they can find God.
I'm Steve Fleming, founding pastor of Koinonia Christian Fellowship.
And I'm Beth Fleming, his wife and partner.
In founding pastor of Koinonia Christian Fellowship.
Yes. Steve and I were living in Brantford, Ontario, and we were serving in our local church.
I had prayed one day, I had a restlessness. I felt like there was something else or something more that God was asking us to do, and I didn't know what that was, and We were quite busy. We didn't have any children, and we were really fully engaged in the local church. We saw people go out and launch churches, and many of them didn't work, and we always thought that if God was going to call us, he'd have it his head with a 2x4, because we weren't going anywhere. And then really there was like a prophetic word in church one day. One of the elders was speaking. He said things were happening so quickly. A year from now, Steve, you could be pastoring, and that it was like, interesting.
When we began to talk about that, I felt like God was developing in me a pastor's heart. And I don't know how to describe it, but when we were leading the home group and it had grown to about 35 adults, we had opportunity there to serve them, to care for them, to create community, to lead people into salvation and see people healed. So it was like God was growing us and stretching us.
We had gone to a meeting and had went for prayer at the end of this meeting and fell out under the power of God. And the lady who was leading the meeting, she didn't touch me. I just fell under the power of God and I'm on this floor and I couldn't move. I experienced this, the power of God in such a powerful way. And everybody dismissed at the end and went out to the foyer and they left an usher with me. I'm laying on the floor. I can't move. I can, move my eyeballs and I could talk, and that was it. And I didn't know what was going on. I just really was praying, asking God what's happening. And felt like the Holy Spirit said, you're afraid of this. And I was. I was terrified. And God said, I want you to know that it's going to be my power, not your power. So we were pretty convinced that this was a God thing. And I was a grade 12 grad, no Bible school. God just said, I have a work for you to do, and I'm going to do it. I preached on a Sunday night, the last time we were at that church. That was the first time I got to preach. They gave us an overhead projector as a gift to start and promised and gave us $100 a month for the first year.
So we were well prepared. Oh my gosh, we were so green. We didn't have a clue.
Did a little church ad.
That's right, church ads in newspapers.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
And that was about it. And then it's word of mouth after that. Well, Koinonia was something we really felt God spoke to us about the church, and it had to do with fellowship and partnership. And it described both the relationship that we have personally with God, but also with each other. Our first Sunday was at Waterloo Inn, and we met there actually for about 2.5 years, I guess it was, altogether. But after meeting in a farmhouse for 8 weeks, we actually went to the Waterloo Inn. Yeah. And I think there was 40, 42 or something on the launch Sunday at the Waterloo Inn. And our chosen ministry room was actually called the Bloomingdale Room. So we got Beth and I in best, her specialty, and it was children. And I was a worship leader. Brian and Gail had been trained by Beth and worked with Beth in children's ministry. Brian and I were on the worship team together. the Schmitz. George was our head usher. He'd ushered for years. And Barb, her passion was children and babies. So she looked after the nursery. And the other couple, worked with children's ministry with Gail as well. And her husband was our assistant head usher. So we had our key areas.
And they were mechanics. So when our van broke down that had all our stuff, they'd pull it or repair it.
And they did both on Sunday mornings.
It's good to see that not much has changed in church planning in 4 years.
In the early, this would be the second year of the church, probably second, third year of the church. We had a family that started attending week two, and their son was 18 months at the time, but he was not well. It took a while to get a diagnosis, but it was eventually determined he had two malabsorption diseases and he would not see his fifth birthday. So, of course, that weighs heavy on the parents' hearts, on the body of Koinonia at the time, was very invested in praying for Matthew. And so we had our first all-night prayer meeting to pray for him and another little boy that was seriously ill as well. And partway through the night, Steve had a vision.
Yeah, I had a vision of Matthew, Matthew Turton. I had a vision of him eating cake on his fifth birthday because the doctors had said he would not live to see his fifth birthday. Mm-hmm. And I really felt strongly that we were done,
We
were done praying, that really was an answer to prayer. And it was, he actually got worse for a little bit. It was really tough on Pauline and Terry. We continued to pray and believe God together. But he was totally healed and brought cake to church on his fifth birthday. And we all had a little piece of cake and celebrated. And Matthew and his family, his kids, all go to Koinonia today. So, see, we came out of charismatic movement that actually, in many cases, demonstrated a greater concern for adults than children. Mm-hmm. And so part of what we were is that we weren't going to go without our kids. And the two scriptures God gave us, actually, one was Moses, where he refused to go out and worship. Pharaoh wanted him to leave the kids behind. And Moses says, no, we're going to go together. Mm-hmm. And the other was Jacob's returning. And Esau says, come with me. And Jacob says, no, we're going to go a little slower so that for the benefit of the children. And so it was like we wanted to do church together as generations. Yeah. And we weren't going to do it. We were just as concerned for our kids as we were for our own spiritual health. And that was not out of the charismatic movement. That was not necessarily normal. And then we wanted to do it with worship. And so we had the kids in for years because we wanted them to experience worship and wanted them to see their parents worshiping. So they didn't think it was just a kid thing.
Just an adult thing.
Yeah, if they were only worshiping on their own, then it's a kid's thing. We want them to see that it was a...
Oh, I see.
Young and old. All of us worshiping together.
Yes.
In September, for those of you who don't know, we'll be launching a new church here in the city of Waterloo. And it's going to...
I remember meeting Steve at a City Watch event. They just had this interesting way, Steve and Beth, of just kind of being a part of our early days of Slate, whether it be through the first ARC training that was done in Ontario, which is the church planning organization we launched Slate Church through, was done actually here in Bloomingdale. And I remember going into the green room or the ready room, whatever we call that room. And I remember that's actually where the whole ARC team like commissioned us to go and plant Slate Church.
Yeah, so in launching Slate Church, the desire was for an intergenerational church. We had been pastoring a student church for several years at that point.
One of the churches that we looked up to in the area and we're trying to emulate as a church when we were first starting was Koinonia. We had a great respect for the history and the legacy that was built out here in Bloomingdale.
And we just really felt God put it on our hearts to launch into something new, something that was for all generations, that kids and young adults and students and adults and people in every stage of life could actually join together, worshiping God as we kind of see outlined in Scripture. And so that was a really key focus on Slate Church, was that it was an intergenerational church.
One of the values was the mission stays the same, but the method always changes. And that was pretty core to those early days, because we wanted to do everything we could to reach this region and the city we found ourselves in. And so while the mission is always to reach people for Jesus, to introduce them to the love of God and be discipled ourselves, the way in which we approach that, we would try anything in order to see people either come to Slate or introduce them to Jesus or have them find themselves in Christian community.
So we had talked about wanting to be an intergenerational church, but as we were looking towards doing that and launching Slate Church, we were launching with students. Almost everyone, a part of the church, was a student, and there were some people from different kind of generations, but we were hoping and excited for kids ministry and what that would look like. And there were just a couple of families, and as we were launching Slate Church, more families began to come. We were able to start having Slate Kids and all of these things happening, but still, it was just a handful of kids really that was there at the start.
I remember Jeff Carlson, he was on our board at the time, just giving us the warning. He's like, with all of the students that you see, he said, set a timer. You're about to see explosive growth in your kids' ministry.
I remember when we were in the pandemic, all of a sudden, I think it was 2019, 2020, I was counting how many pregnancies there were in the church. And I think in the course of that year, that 2020 year, 25 babies were born in Slate Church just in that year, not including all of the ones who had come and joined in at that point, all of the families.
And it hasn't been slowing down.
It has not been slowing down. Yeah. Now we just continue to see kind of explosive growth. And so this desire, this hope for an intergenerational church, I mean, we're now seeing the fruit of that literally in Slate Kids every single week.
Well, it's cool to see a bunch of friends who were students that you launched this church with, all of a sudden there's like their mini-me's just like running around the church. And it's a lot of fun because you can literally see the future leadership of the church. And they're not even just the future leaders, like they're already making an impact. The stories we're hearing of these kids going into their schools and sharing Jesus and just being, it's really, really cool to see.
Guys, what are you doing at the office?
I just remember being in the office one day, and I think it's when we started to come to terms. Like, the pandemic was really hard, but there was a moment when I think that we realized that our church may actually be slightly growing through the pandemic, that all of a sudden, it felt like nowhere, this passion for Koinonia just started like being impressed upon my spirit. I remember having an initial conversation with Tim and Julia Hutchison, who had at one point been at Koinonia, and we're now, Julia was on staff, she was my assistant. I shared with them, like, I don't know, I can't get Koinonia off my mind.
And I just felt my spirit, God, drop Deuteronomy 28 into my spirit. I really had no context. I don't have all of Deuteronomy memorized. And so I flipped there. And as I began reading, it's Moses addressing the Israelites, and it's all about obedience and blessing and disobedience and curse. And as I was reading really the beginning of it, where it was talking about obedience and blessing, it was saying, if you obey, and then one of the first verses there is, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. And it was in that moment that for me, myself personally, and I shared this with the group.
I think our entire leadership team in that moment when you read that knew that this is something we needed to do and to yield ourselves to. And it was this prompting by God. And at the time, I didn't think I had the right language for it, but it developed over a year and a half to this phrase of, why are we two different churches? And that just kept growing on me because, you know, looking years into my past, I remember coming to Koinonia for the first time when I started dating you. Your parents brought us here. And that set an initial vision for what church could be into my mind, even though I didn't really have another connection with them. Like, I never really ever attended here or served here at Koinonia. But it set something off in my mind. And then a year and a half before I started talking to Brian, this phrase started to get chiseled into my mind. Why are we two different churches? And that's what I felt the Holy Spirit putting on me. And so when I approached Pastor Brian, I mean, that's through a lot of I'm usually quite clear in the way that I'm communicating. I would say if there was a moment in my life where I lacked clarity on what I was trying to communicate, it was because I was so nervous. I didn't want to ruin my relationship with Koinonia as two churches in the city. I didn't want to ruin my relationship with Brian and all of the people that I'd played sports with over the years from Koinonia. And just what kind of came out was, I don't know why you're two different churches. What if we merged? The first part was like birthed out of just lots of prayer, a year and a half. The second part of merging would take another year, a year and a half to actually work itself out through leadership. But it was quite clear in those early conversations that God was in this.
Second sticks, Pastor Brian, take one.
I remember getting this text from Pastor Brandon, and he said, hey, can we get together and pray? And there was just something about the way he communicated at this time that it's just something in my spirit leaped that there was something deeper in the conversation he wanted to have. And so we got together, and it was September of 2022, September 21st, if you want to know the actual date, because I remember sitting down together, and he was just so respectful of Koinonia and what God has been doing through this church over many years. He was respectful of Pastor Stephen Beth. He was respectful of Rebecca and I. And he almost looked nervous to share with me something that he said God had put on his heart to pray over for a significant period of time. I remember praying in that moment, just saying, Lord, why is he so nervous? What is it he's going to share with me? God, what are you possibly calling us into? And all I sensed was the word merging come to my mind. And it never was even a thought before that. And so I took 48 hours. And when I was leading up to that, I said to our elders here at Koinonia, I said, there's something exciting that God could be doing. And I shared with them the conversation I had with Brandon. And I said, I don't want you to tell your spouse. I don't want you to tell anyone. I want you to pray with me. And so I knew they were praying while I was away praying. And those were some moments for me just to get alone and get quiet and to submit all of these ideas with God. Because at Koinonia, we had been, as a leadership and as a community, been wondering, God, what's next? You've called us into fresh vision for making disciples in our region and beyond, but how do we do it? And what's next for us? The next meeting I remember Brandon and I being really anxious and nervous about was bringing our leadership together to sign what we called a kingdom commitment. And it was us just saying, we're committed to the kingdom, and here's what we're committed as two churches toward this new vision together. And yet, as we came into the room, we could just sense there was anticipation, there was excitement and eagerness to not get through the night, but to what God was birthing before us. And there was spontaneity that happened that night. Somebody said, let's just worship. And so somebody led out in worship, and in unity in a circle, we worship. Equal to it was our next gathering as leaders when we came together to officially sign and say, we're committed to this going forward. And that meeting, we had communion together. We broke bread together. We talked about how Christ gave his life to unite us as one body. And here we were experiencing this in our city, in our church communities, not even fully knowing what God had in store next. I remember our two communities coming together for a worship night, and there was anticipation of what's it going to be like? Are we going to like each other? Are we going to sing the same songs? What is praying going to be like together? So there was a lot of that, just kind of feeling it out, and what's it going to be like to serve together? But once we started to sing, and once we heard words of prayer, and Brandon stepping into moments, I stepped into moments that night and just speaking out direction, what was on our hearts as leaders and what we could see the body of Christ responding to. It was like, I remember somebody saying to me after that night, they said, it feels like we're one already. And that was early in the stages, but we knew God was at work in our community, bringing us together. During this journey, I've had lots of conversations with people outside of our churches as well. And some of them are asking me, so why merge? Why are you doing this? Like, Koinonia has 40 years of history. Slate has lots of ministry experience in years. And why would you do this? And I remember the stirring in me that Brandon and I would hear him say the same was because God's calling us into something that is part of his vision in his heart. And so we're willing to say, yes, God, We're going to go where you are because we want to be involved in the work that you're already doing. And I believe from my very early prayer times about this merge that when we yield and submit something to God, God will birth, he'll grow, he'll increase, he'll multiply something that's even greater than we can think right now or imagine or try and create ourselves, because God's birthing something new. So we know there's other churches watching, there's other people watching, and that's why we're committed to pray, to worship together, to work through differences, and to come to unity to say, yes, God, keep building your church so you can reach more disciples in Ontario and beyond.
You know, as we hear of the past of Koinonia and the past of Slate Church and the history that's there, that is so rich in what God is doing, and he's doing it through his people. I think we see that across the board, that the Spirit has just moved over the years, whether it's a shorter history of Slate Church, you know, 6.5 years old, of Koinonia, 40 years old, almost to the day, really, of when things got started with Pastor Stephen Beth. It's just been incredible to see how God has moved, and he's used all of us. And I think that that really is such a significant piece, that we get to be a part of his plan, that we get to be a part of what he is doing. We have in the past, and we will again in the future. And that's encouraging for us. I hope that's encouraging for you as well, that we are all a part of this. Whether our history tracks back 2 years, 2 months, 2 decades, whatever that looks like, this is significant what God has done, but he is not finished yet. He's not done yet. We believe it. We hope that you believe it too, that there's a lot of good in store here.
Yeah, and it's not just significant. There's a resounding word in my mind right now. It's miraculous.
Yeah.
When I think of all of the stories that Steve and Beth and Pastor Brian have shared of the history of Koinonia, you see miracles in people's lives and you see miracles corporately. You think of just the things that have happened in people, individuals' lives where we have come to God in prayer, but then also the building of facilities and the events that happened and the things that drew people unto God corporately. I mean, that's the same story at Slate Church. We have seen miracles in people's lives, but then we've also seen God move amongst the church corporately in miraculous ways as well. It's a story of miracles and sacrifice. It's a story of God's leading, and it's a story of his people's obedience. Overarching all of this, it's a story of God's faithfulness. And the good thing is that this story isn't being ended. That was chapter one for each of the congregations. But in chapter two, I really believe that God is going to continue his faithfulness, and we're going to continue to respond to his faithfulness with obedience. So here's to more miracles, more sacrifice, more hope, more vision. I believe the best is yet to come.
Wow. How to sum up 40 years? I can't do it. A video can't even do it. A lot of history of what God has been up to and what he's been working at. And for some of you who don't know Pastor Stephen Beth, the founding pastors of Koinonia Church, you got to hear a little bit more insight into the history and the track. And we invited them to be here this morning. But Pastor Steve already had a commitment to speak in Guelph, and so for 3 weeks in a row. So he said, I can't get out of this. As you saw, we had them in and reminisced, and that video doesn't capture even half of the memories that are held by the community of Koinonia over the many years here. And I want to thank our team, Tim, Michaela, Judah Bondi, who put that video together. Yeah, why don't we thank them? And over these years, too, not only have we had lead pastors, we've also had apostolic elders. And we've had Pastor Paul Uke serve for a number of years as an apostolic elder, and Dwayne Harder. And Dwayne is with us this morning, and as you can see, he's coming up here with Eric, and he's coming up because I've invited him to step into this moment and share a few words. Dwayne's had relationship with Koinonia for over 30 years and walked closely with the Fleming family and the Koinonia family. And so, Dwayne, we invite you back into this moment because we want you to share what God's stirring in your heart as well. Yeah.
Well, good morning, church. As I was driving over this morning, I said to myself, you know what, Dwayne? I'm not going back to Koinonia again. You challenged, yeah, Dave challenged that this morning. But listen, it is a privilege to be with you and to have had a part with you. It's actually 37 years. I sat down and figured it out. I've actually been here one full year.
In your accumulated time, you've been here a full year in all your trips and all your visits?
All of those together. And both Marv and I have felt very, very much at home. In fact, Marva said to me, this is the favorite place to be. Hmm. That was her statement. Wow. So I'm giving you her statement. Hmm. I want to just read a scripture encapsulating and expressing gratitude. I mean, how can I say anything but thank you for the privilege? It's been a privilege to work with you over these years. And I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 2, where he said, "And they did not say, where is the Lord?" Now, I realize that's not what you're saying now. Where's the Lord been? You have been looking back, and that is good. "But who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. But he brought us to a land full of abundance and good things." And what I felt God impressing upon me as I looked forward to this time, what is it, God, what do you want to say? And there were a few things that kind of almost instantly dropped into my mind. I sat on them for a bit because, you know, as Marva would tell you, my mind is very fertile, and not everything that my mind thinks is necessarily God. In fact, she used to say, "Honey, you should be like the Ford ad. Ford has a better idea." And that was years ago. I mean, some of you may remember that ad. But these things settled down, and I wanted to share them with you this morning. And the first one is this: the journey to the promised land always, underline that, say with me, always.
Always.
Always involves the wilderness. If you look through scripture, you'll understand what I'm saying. Wherever God is going to take a person from one place to another, he takes them through a wilderness. That's a part of God's process with us. It was with his own son, Jesus Christ, before he actually moved into the very ministry that had been before ordained for him. He spent 40 days and 40 nights where?
Wilderness.
In the wilderness. And who was there? The devil. You're absolutely right. And I wanted to actually speak this to us this morning, because in the wilderness, there are three things that God wants to do. He wants to deepen our relationship with each other.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the heart of the Father. There were no other people in the wilderness. That's what we read. So they just had themselves to live with. And he wants us to learn what it is to walk in relationship with each other through the wilderness, the dry place, where there doesn't seem to be productivity. He wants to demonstrate his presence to us in a new and vital way. They hadn't known the presence of God in Egypt the way they discovered it in the wilderness. Yeah. And yes, you see, God has moved in the past. I've seen things happen here. I've watched it grow. When I came 37 years ago, it was not like it is right now. See, God has worked, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He has. Absolutely he has. No question about it. But you see, that can often be a distraction to us, because we can go back and say, God, do it again. And there's a place for that. Please, I'm not opposed to that. But I don't want God to come and do it again. I want God to come and do it now. Mm. Mm. So what is it that we need God to do now? Mm. Amen?
Yeah.
Not what he did yesterday.
Yeah, something new.
But what is it that we need God to do now? Mm-hmm. And so as you begin the journey together, let the focus be on God, what are you wanting to do now?
Yeah.
Amen. We want to trust you for the now. What you did in the past lets us know that you work, mm-hmm. that you have been at work. And help us then out of that to say, God, help us now. Mm-hmm. Come now
yeah.
into our now. The second thing is remember that history is a record of events. Heritage is what you extract of the value out of those events. Mm-hmm. History is a record of the events. And you can go back and record the events of the past, but what's the most important to God is what you extract as value out of those events. What was God teaching you? Mm-hmm. What was God building into you of character?
Yeah.
How is God using those past events to prepare you for what is in the present? Mm-hmm. And may I remind you that vision without purpose and steps of action is delusion. Mm-hmm. Can I say that again?
Yeah, do it.
Vision without purpose and steps of action is delusion. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at vision, you see, we can make vision statements. There are, you know, wonderful things to write. But what's important is what am I doing to take steps here, here, and here to actually walk out that vision? Mm-hmm. So if we have a vision to reach Ontario, what am I doing today in Waterloo?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I mean, I suggest to people, I did this where Marva and I were before Marva died. I walked down the hallway of the place where we were, and I prayed at every door. I said, Lord, I don't know who's behind that door, but you know them. And I'm asking, Father, in Jesus' name, because your word said you're not willing that any should perish, I'm asking, Father, to orchestrate the circumstance that the seed of the word of God can be deposited with these people.
Yeah.
That's just a step of action. See, I may not see the consequence of that, but do I believe God will answer that prayer?
Yeah.
Yes, you can walk down your street, pray in front of every house. Mm-hmm. I've done this in Vernon. In fact, I've walked through all of the city of Vernon praying because, you see, I believe that vision has to have action. And I want to cooperate with God and be prepared with God to take a step of action for the fulfillment of the vision. Amen?
Amen.
May I remind you that every one of us is a part of the family of God. That means that every one of us is enlisted in the army of God. Amen?
Yeah, that's true.
Every one of us. Now, when I say that, remember, you're either in active service or you've been dishonorably discharged, or honorably discharged.
Could be either.
You may have been dishonorably, I hope not. Honorably discharged. Or you're absent without official leave. Amen? We're in the army, right? And finally, I want to remind you of the story of the lame duck. Now, my cousin and I were going on a safari. I mean, we were 10 years of age.
And you're in British Columbia.
Alberta. This was in Alberta. This was in Alberta.
Where safaris are.
And it was spring, a nice balmy day, you know, minus 22. Anyway, we'd get these sloughs that would form, and the ducks would build their nests around these sloughs. And Gary and I were out hunting. You know, we had our sticks, and we were all prepared to capture whatever thing sprang up, and this duck came out from the edge of the slough, the the brush there and was flapping along, and we were chasing after this duck that just stayed a little ways ahead of us. And all of a sudden, as we got further and further away from where the event began, the duck spread her wings and off she flew. And I looked at Carrie and I thought, what? So we told our parents what had happened, and they both started to laugh. They said, that duck just fooled you. She was just leading you away from her ducklings. And as this picture came back to me, I said, God help us to not get distracted from the purpose for which we've been called together and formed together.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Because the enemy will endeavor to distract us.
Yeah.
He will endeavor to distract us personally, and he will endeavor to distract us collectively, so that we get focused on the thing which is non-essential. Now, in this, may I appeal to you that we don't get distracted, that we allow principle to always take precedent over pragmatism, that we always allow truth to triumph over what we call a program. Let truth be what guides us. And eventually, may we always recall that we together are to accomplish the purpose of God.
Yeah.
For it takes the whole church to do the whole will of God.
That's right.
To accomplish the purpose of God in the earth.
Amen. Amen.
And to that end, may the Lord Jesus Christ continue to be the captain of our host, leading us into triumph. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I must tell you, when they were singing there, I wanted to dance. My spirit, my eternal spirit, just wanted to leap across this front here. But my 82-year-old body said, yeah, I'll be ready to call 911.
Dwayne, we want to pray over you.
That's right. So it's my privilege to pray over Dwayne, and just please join me in prayer and thank him also for his years of dedication here. Father, as we pray for Dwayne, we thank you for the 37 years of faithful counsel and commitment he has given to Koinonia. We are so grateful that you have sent us someone who has such a passion and yearns for unity in the body of Christ and has instilled that same passion into us here and to many others. Father, by both word and deed, he has worked here and around the world to help make that unity happen and to continue to instill that desire for unity in us as base church as we move forward. We thank you for a man whose heart desire is to surrender completely and fully to you, someone who wants to finish his race well, who is looking forward to what you are doing, not backward to what he has done in the past.
Yeah.
And as Dwayne looks forward, carry him in your plan and give him the assurances that he is walking in your plan and show him there is no plan B. There is only your plan. We pray for your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to strengthen him when he's weak. Give him wisdom to know his part in your purpose and co-laborers to share the load. We thank you for sending Dwayne to us 37 years ago for his wisdom, for his guidance, and for his prayers. And we ask that you would bless and multiply the seed he has sown, not just here, but in so many other places, that he will continue to increase in wisdom for our benefit and for that of others in the years to come. Father, I just thank you for Dwayne. I thank you for his commitment to us, his friendship, his guidance, his counsel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I thank Eric as well for praying over Dwayne. If you don't know Eric, Eric Van Raahe has been an elder here for many years and served a part of this team. And Dwayne is going to continue to keep relationship with us here at the Bloomingdale location. And Brandon and Emma have other spiritual overseers that are also going to be walking with us as a church too. And there's just so much that's going on that God is drawing together. And I recognize this thing that you might refer to might tell you something, but we're not quite done yet, okay? So stay with me just a little bit longer. All right. Thanks, Ted. Yeah, in fact, what's today? I've been fasting 21 days. So you can fast for another hour, all right? If you didn't start our 10-day fast on Wednesday, you can get through it, trust me. And I share that with you to say our pastoral team has been committed to that, to say this is not something we take lightly. This is something we yielded and said, God, what's for now? What are you doing? And we said, we want to set aside the distractions, and we want to hear your heart, God, as you lead two communities to become one, a kingdom principle, unity. And when we embrace God's kingdom principles, then his power flows, and then he does divine heavenly things. And so that's why as we step into these moments of becoming Base Church, I do want to take a few more moments and honor many who have served here over the years at Koinonia Church. I want to honor the Fleming family, Pastor Steve and Beth. You heard from them, but many of you know them personally and how they've served from when they were much younger in years. And you heard some of the story through the video. And I can't begin to tell you the many, many stories that they share. But also with Steve and Beth have been their kids, Catherine and Joseph. And again, some of you watched them grow up. They were in some of the pictures when they were really little. And Catherine was on staff here for a number of years, and she led our Christmas and concerts with an incredible team. She helped start our arts academy for many years of dance and music and lessons. And then there is Bryce and Heidi, and you know them better because Heidi is still on our pastoral team and kids ministry. And Bryce, where are you? There you are. I know you always sit in this section. A week ago, I saw you in the kitchen with your three kids. And I thought of you as that little kid. And I thought how many years you were here with your parents, early, counting cookies like you were doing with your girls. And how many years you've served here, and Heidi carrying that vision with you. And we're honored to have you continue to carry this vision forward. And then there's Catherine and Jacob, the Fleming's youngest daughter. And Rebecca and I got the privilege of walking with them through their young adult years and doing their marriage counseling and being a part of that part of their lives and just so many exciting years. And then that's just one Fleming family. There's more Fleming family and multiplied still here. Lauren sitting beside me, Pastor Steve's brother, still serving the vision that God has given to us here. And then, a number of the families were mentioned. Steve and Beth mentioned them in the videos, the Schmidts, the Suttons, the Turtons, and there's more. And I just want to speak out a few more family names. The Tippins, who were, as Pastor Steve's youth pastors, came to be a part of this community and still are. The Van Raahes, the Woods, the Bigelows, the Beanies, the Browns, the Stevens times Stevens times Stevens. The Dross, the Gadsby's, the Turners, the Bosmans, the DeVries, the Guderians, the Bondies, and more and more and more. And then there's been others who have been here and aren't here any longer. The Ferrises, the Warners, the Dunks, the Beecrafts. And again, I could keep going with that list. Many to be so thankful for. And I'm going to repeat what Pastor Brandon said on Tuesday night at our launch meeting that we had here. And he called out some people and affirmed and encouraged and he said, "It's when you do that, sometimes you can take a risk because some will think, well, what about me and what about my family? But I loved how Pastor Brandon quoted Paul, the Apostle Paul, the disciple Paul. And he said, Paul's words, that when one is honored, we all rejoice. So can we rejoice with everyone who has served here over so many years? So many years. You've heard it said that God's been working through many, many people to accomplish his purposes, and the exact same thing is true with Slate Church. We got some of our friends from Slate Church. They're part of Waterloo Morning and at Evening, and they're here, and that some were here last week because we're saying, hey, come and just mix together, because we're going to be one body, one family together. And as we do this together, I asked Dwayne, I said, Dwayne, how can I possibly put a message together on a morning like this when there's motion, there's thoughts, and we're getting ready for what's next, what's now that God would do? And Dwayne said, Brian, why don't you step into the moments of how God led Israel? And he said, even out of Psalm 103 or Psalm 105, and so I'm just going to read parts of that psalm for you as we reminisce that God has been leading his people longer than we can even fathom. And now we're a people that is obedient, committed to be obedient to him, to see him continue to lead us. Psalm 105, verse 1, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. And we've been doing that at this Koinonia location. We've been giving praise to God, and we've been making known what he has done. And church, we are still going to do that. You've heard over the last two Sundays, Pastor Nathan and then Pastor Brandon highlighted our mission as the new church, base church, that we exist to worship God, to equip the saints, and to reach Ontario. And that's what we're excited to keep doing, just like the people before us have done, just like Koinonia before us has done, just like Slate before the current generation has done, is to continue to praise and worship God. Now I'm going to condense a little bit more of Psalm 105 and not read word for word all the way through, but verses 5 to 7 say, remember, honor, celebrate, reflect on God's hand at work in your life, and continue to declare it. That psalm also says, because there's many miracles of God, and God has done miracles before. We heard Pastor Stephen talk about the miracle of the Turtons, and Matthew's still serving on the KCA board. Like, there's evidence of miracles here in this location, and that's going to be testimony for us to continue to proclaim. And then God also brings his judgments to his people, expecting us to be obedient to his ways, and I do not want to stray from God's ways. And I want to lead us to continue to follow in God's ways. Then verses 8 to 11 says, he is a God who remembers his covenant promises with his people. God is not forgetful. Did you say it all this week? Oh, shoot, I forget that. I can't remember it. Or, oh, I'm getting so forgetful in my older age. God never forgets. And he's made promises to his people. And he's promised to continue to draw people who will turn to his son Jesus and say, yes, I want to follow you. So let's remember God and his ways. It actually, as I think about this concept of God being a covenant-keeping God, I think, what are the covenants that God has made with us as his people that he hasn't yet accomplished? And we might say, well, the clock's ticking, God. KUCU, Koinonia is finishing, and Base Church is starting. God, you must have forgotten something. No. God says, that might be the way you expected I would do it, but I still have a way that I'm going to fulfill my promises through you if you will stay with me as my people. I believe that part of what God is doing in this merging together to form one church is expediting his purposes. You don't have to look very far out your window during the day, whether your office window or house window, to see a courier service go by. FedEx, UPS, Canada Post. The expedited process of delivery has increased in our day and age. And it also comes through our devices a lot faster than that. And I believe God is wanting to expedite his purposes because the days are not, they're not good. And God wants his church to be out reaching people with his love and his forgiveness. Though this is a chapter of Koinonia, Pastor Brandon said it, a chapter that we're turning the page on. It is Koinonia's history to this point coming to an end because we're going to be coming base church. And at the same time, as an ending happens, this is something incredible and special for us to acknowledge what God has been doing. And that's why we've taken time this morning to share these memories. Some might feel like it's a death, like my dream is dying here. And then you associate with death grief. And there's sadness that comes along with that. And these are all valid emotions to recognize when we go through transitions and changes. Rebecca and I, though, were at a funeral last weekend for her best friend, one of her best friends. Lifelong friend from junior high. She was in our wedding. Rebecca was in her wedding. But yet, her days on earth were done. We couldn't control that, the days on earth that we wanted them. We prayed that her life would extend. But we gathered together, and her name was Stephanie Joy. And she exuded joy every day of her life. And though we sat there as a family and friends, much like this gathering here, and reminisced and thought about what was and all the great things, she was no longer with us. We had to release her and let her go. But there's something that my son Nick said that just put this all in context. But he said, for us as Christians, one ending only leads us and launches us into a new beginning. Because as followers of Christ, God isn't finished with the life that he's planted in us and wants to accomplish through us. Is there anyone here who agrees with me? Yeah, it's so true. And I believe that with this church here, I don't think Koinonia is dying. I think what God is doing with Base Church is building on Koinonia and Slate, what he already birthed and put in them and wants to accomplish through us together. I believe in Base Church, God wants more worship in our three locations. I believe he wants to do more equipping of us as disciples, as us as saints, followers of him. And I believe he wants to see more reaching into this region, into this province, and beyond. And so, friends, I'm going to narrow it down to what Jesus said to the disciples, Acts chapter 1, verse 7. Jesus said to them, "It's not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has sent by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I truly believe that God is not finished with this community that's been gathering here in Bloomingdale for 40 years. I believe that Koinonia, now is the time. I believe Base Church, Bloomingdale location, that's you guys, now is the time. And God is calling us into something that is bigger than all of us, but it's something that is believable because he's in the middle of it. Amen? Worship team, you can start to trickle out here because we're going to finish with a song of the same God who's been working for many years. But let me just give you a couple of my personal reflections as they prepare to come out, because I've been the lead pastor here for 4.5 years, walking with you and serving with you. And on that Sunday, this is what it looked like. Pastor Steve and I high-fiving. He gave me a high-five, and he said, now you take it and carry on. And in those years, it's been an amazing journey, stretching for sure. And I've shared some of that with you. Pastor Steve said to me just before we transitioned leadership, he said, "Brian, I just sense what you're going to go through in the next 5 years is going to equal the experience of our first 35. You've heard me say that? And so expedited is happening. What's the next 5 years going to look like? What's the next 10 years look like if God wants us to get in line and to be following after him? This is a moving experience for me too, because I'm realizing today I am Koinonia's last lead pastor. But what I'm also excited about is I'm Bloomingdale location's very first location pastor. Yeah. Nine years on staff is what it's been for me already. 9 years working with some amazing teams and many people, and I could list and name them. And what I'm honored by is some of those who were on staff formerly but aren't are still here serving. Like Pastor Dave saying, my mission's not done just because of a title or a desk or an office. I'm still here to bring enthusiasm and bring faith. I love Dave's faith. 13 years ago it was the Ferguson family said, we believe God's moving us here. We actually received a word from God a couple years before that. We lived only 3 minutes up the road from this location, actually that way. And many times Beck and I were like, why don't we just go there? And we didn't feel release. And then we kept praying and praying. And then one day God said, move your kids to the academy at KCA. And he said, it's going to make your life a lot simpler. And I thought, duh, it's three kilometers up the road. I could figure that out. I had no idea we'd be stepping into it to be our home church for the last 13 years, or for me to step into a leadership role for the last 9 years, or the lead pastor role. But I'm here because I believe in our great God. And I truly believe he is not finished yet. He has been working with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And again, I could keep listing the people through scripture he's been working with. And then he's been working with us through the generations here. And he isn't finished yet. Because look around you. Are there any empty seats around you? There are people in this region who don't know what forgiveness is like. They've not experienced the divine outpouring of the Father's love into their heart. They have not known what healing could be like. Friends, it's up to us to take this gospel news and deliver it to him. Paul tells the church in Colossae, he says, the whole fullness of God dwelt in Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son, is the image of the Father. And through the Son comes the redemption of mankind, the forgiveness and the love. And so we need to get ready because God wants to take us farther than we've been before. Are you ready to go farther? Are you ready to go farther? Would you stand with me? I want to pray. And the team, would you prayerfully and spirit-filled lead us in declaring that we have the same God at work today? Father, wow. In this moment, we're not thinking about our old photos or video segments. We may be thinking about our emotions, God. And so in this moment, we bring everything to you. We bring to you the last 6 years of Slate Church. I can only imagine, and as I've talked with my friends Brandon and Emma, how emotional it is for them to release the vision of a church that you birthed in them. To continue to reach. And God, we see your fruit alive and active in Slate community. And Lord, we bring Koinonia to you, the 40 years that you have led us this far. Wow. 40 years. The Israelites just spent that period of time in the desert before that you led them into something more. And so we're here to say, we are your people. We love you. We are going to be obedient to you, God. And we are going to take steps of faith. As you said, go and make disciples in my name. And we want to introduce Jesus to the world. And so, Father, thank you for these years. And now we posture our faith to look forward to the base that you are established already of Jesus Christ, our foundation, that we will come and go from this base and share Jesus with our world. And God, we want you to be praised every day of our lives. May you get the glory, because you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We want to encourage you to let the Holy Spirit sink today's message into your heart, to let it transform you and bring new life. If you want to learn more about Koinonia, you can go to kcf.life to get connected. Thank you for being a part of our community. If today's message encouraged you, we would love for you to rate it and review it and share it with a friend. We love you. Let's continue to build God's kingdom together.